us take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over, and He'll make a way for you
well if
you got mountains, that you can't climb. Oh,
and if
you got rivers that you can't cross. Oh,
and if
you got valleys that you can't span. Let Jesus take a hold of your hand.
Now if
you got burdens
too hard to bear.
Oh, and if
your load
seems more than your share,
Kneel down
and talk to Jesus. I know He cares, and He'll make a way somehow. Oh, now give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take
great is our God.
Yes.
Page 210, key of G.
The splendor of the King.
Amen.
It's good to be here tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Anxious to see what God's going to do.
Yes, it is.
We come as an expecting group.
Looking forward to it.
Page 210, key of G.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God! Oh, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see.
God. Hallelujah.
How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
He's the name above all names. Hallelujah.
You know, if I was God tonight and I started hearing people singing how great that I was, oh my, I think I'd come in the room. I'd want to hear, if I was God, I would want to hear how great I was and what people thought of me, you know. Oh, but how great is he that he would take us out of a nasty, filthy world and shine us up like a jewel. And just, oh, I'm waiting until... it's just not, you know, feels like heavenly places, but it is heaven. It is. It'll be the reality then. Oh, looking forward to it. Oh, tonight. Oh, my. I talked to Brother Nate earlier, and I said, how you doing? He goes, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. We know what that is. It's the, you know, I think there's certain days of the week that we do something a little more during them days. Like maybe... Saturdays we might try to rest a little more, but with the devil it's Wednesdays and Sundays in the churches that have Thursday nights. He's like, man, it's Wednesday, I'm gonna try to torment some people, because that's what he does. He's a tormentor, and you can't fault him for doing his job, but we can still give him a black eye. The bully's still going to be a bully, but we can still hit him one, you know. So just looking forward to tonight, really am. Let's go to page 115. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, yes.
Amen.
My. I didn't hear a no in here. Yeah. Yeah, he's wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard.
Come on, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what key it is. I think it says G here in the book, but
I like G.
Yes. G's good. I like G. Yeah.
Amen.
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't
wonderful. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? One more time, let's sing it to him. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I know we're live streaming tonight, so God bless you out there, and you're going to thoroughly be blessed. Now, I'm going to say this because there's only one of the preachers here tonight. The other one's not here. I would probably offend him if I said that, said this. But we've had 8 or 10 preachers here, and thank you for opening your doors. Because, you know, God says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you'll open the door, and you know it's God, my, what can he bring? And he says, I will come in and sup with you. Now, I've supped with a lot of people. But you know what you get when you sit at the table with somebody? You get their conversation, too. Can you imagine the conversation we'll get tonight from God just by sitting here at his table? Oh, my. You know, that table's so big, but even if it got filled, there's extra chairs that can be pulled up. Have you ever got a table too small and you're like, hey, scooch over. You know, let's scoot this chair in here. That's me. I'm going to say, scooch over. I want to hear what's going to be taking place at that table, you know. But a real blessing. But anyway, I'm going to say this. This preacher tonight, I've seen him as a little boy growing up. I've known his parents for years and years. He comes from not just earthly good stock, but he comes from real, true good stock. And now he's the youngest preacher that we're having here tonight. Now, when he starts preaching, you're going to think, what? We're just expecting something young. But boy, he's well-studied and well-read. But that's not all. That's just a little bit of it. He's got that real true experience with God. And that's what you want, you know. So, no, I said that to say this. He's the youngest preacher. But the next preacher we're having here in the 9th of next month, he's going to be the oldest preacher. I didn't want to say that in front of him, you know, because if he gets here, he'd be like, what? I'm the oldest? But this preacher that's going to be coming on the 9th, he actually, him and his wife, they're going to come up and stay the weekend with me. We're going to have two services on Sunday. And him and his wife met in Brother Branham's meetings. Now, it's very rare to get somebody in this day and age that's actually been in the prophet's meetings and that can come and stand before us and tell us with his own eyes what he saw. Not what he's just heard, but what he has seen also. I am looking so forward to that. And if you know anybody, that Sunday on the 9th would be the very service to be here. But we've got this service tonight. And, oh, man, just so thrilled. Let's sing 121. Come and go with me to my Father's house. How many people have you asked?
Amen.
Come and go with me. You know, some come and some don't, you know. But I'm going to go alone if I have to go alone. So.
Oh, come and go with me, oh, to my Father's house, oh, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Oh, Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. King Jesus will be there, oh, in my Father's house, oh, in my Father's house.
Lord. Yeah, thank God for talent in musicians. Wow, and be willing to step out and do it. You can't let fear keep you seated because you won't go nowhere, you know? And but I know some people, they're a bigger blessing sitting there being quiet, you know? That's how I feel sometimes, you know? But there's those ones that has them gifts, you know? And but anyway, boy, I tell you, you never know what comes out of a man's mouth when he opens it. Oh, I don't know how many times my mom has shook her head like she's doing now. And she says, I don't even know if it's a word, but I heard it a lot growing up. It's shh, shh, you know, be still. Yes. And know that I'm mom. Yes. Oh, I tell you. Boy, I tell you, really blessed to have good parents. If you got good, godly parents, boy, God has really blessed you extraly, definitely. So, all right, we've got that real treat for you, this preacher, but we got another treat. And my mom and dad, they were asking, well, who's going to be preaching? And I said, well, Brother Isaac Hatfield. Is Bethany coming? You know, that's his wife. And so I was telling her that at the dinner table tonight. She goes, you're welcome, honey, you know, because Sister Barb's going to come because Sister Bethany's coming, you know. They just got that nice little friendship, you know. So, but y'all may be seated. But Sister Bethany, she's got a real gift. And, you know, you're your own worst critic. You know, she'd say, oh, no, I'm not. I don't get it. But you know what? It's the motive in which you do things. Amen. And in how she sings, her motive is to bring you up higher. Amen. High enough that you might even touch the hand of Jesus, you know, tonight. But just, she's a little Southern. And, you know, I'm not big on Southern gospel music, but I like Southern people singing gospel music. You know what I mean? You know, some of them are out there on the TV and the big, you know, whatever, you know, but the Gaithers and all that, you know, but it's a more look at me and look at my talent, right, instead of look at God and look, amen, what he's done, you know. Amen. So, but anyway, we're going to ask her to come and sing a song, maybe two, and she's going to really bless you. Can somebody get her something where her guitar, she can hear her guitar, like a couple mics set up for her? Yeah. I'll even give up my special mic here if I have to. Yes. Sister Bethany, she comes from good stock too. Her dad is a preacher, been a preacher for several years, and just come from a real blessing of a family. She's going to sing you happy here.
This is an old song, and if you know it, you can sing it with me. Well, it's a country where no storm clouds will ever gather, and it's an ending day where night will never be. Heaven means to me. place where there'll be no misunderstanding. Oh, and from all enmity and strife we're free.
That is just what heaven means to you. You can't find that on the radio. That is for sure. You can't find that on the radio. What a blessing. What a blessing. My. Well, that makes me want to just sing this one. Page 124. Just a closer walk with thee. Yes. Is that what you desire tonight, a closer walk? You didn't even have to answer that. You're here. That means you want a closer walk with God. Well, hold on a minute. Let me find my page here. Will I am weak, but thou art strong. Ain't that the truth?
love.
Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Will I be satisfied as long as I walk? Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee.
Ain't that what you want? Oh, yes. This last verse. Oh, when my feeble life is o'er. This is the part I like. I've said this before, don't hide your truth, and don't be afraid to tell your truth to people. And your truth is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, it belongs to you now because Christ gave it to you.
That's right.
And I was reading something here the other day, and by the way, thank you, brother, for these glasses. I forgot mine at home, and my brothers allowed me to use this, or I wouldn't have been able to read this, you know? I could have improvised, but we all know I'm not good at improvising, you know. I need to, yes, yeah, you guys would keep kicking in and helping me. But anyway, I thought this was really good. Just let me read it to you and just take it to your heart, because this could very well be any one of us in this building here tonight that loves the Lord, and you can't shut up about God. Anyway, an old man was inside a train. He stood up and said to the passengers, "Jesus is coming soon." And when he said these things, a woman then shouted, "Shut up. You don't know anything about Jesus, and he doesn't even exist." And the old man, he was embarrassed. We felt that way before. He was embarrassed, and he sat down. But God kept putting on his heart to rise again and keep talking about this upcoming Jesus. So he obeyed the voice of God, and he stood up again saying, Jesus is coming back. We need to repent of our sins and accept him today. Then the woman who shouted before rose with her child next to her in the seat and attacked the poor old man. She continued attacking the poor old man, and her child said to her, stop hitting him, mommy. He is sent from God. So even the child knew. Stop hitting him, mommy. He is sent from God. And when that child said that, the woman fell to her knees and began to cry. The old man asked her, why are you crying, woman? And the woman said, my son was deaf and dumb and mute, and now he's talking. Oh, my. You just don't know who you're entertaining. You know, so never shut up if you've got something to say. You know, a lot of people aren't going to want to hear the truth, but there's going to be that one on that train car that needed to hear that to where his ears would be opened and his mouth could then speak. Don't quit hitting him, mommy. Quit hitting him. Those were, she's speaking against God, and yet God is getting ready to grant her the biggest blessing of her life. Amen. You know, tonight, God could be getting ready to grant you one of the greatest things ever. You know, so, oh my. Amen. He is wonderful. He is good. He's everything to me. But are you ready for the Word of God?
I am.
Oh my. Every time I get up here, my voice goes, everything. That devil just jabs and sticks and whatever. But you know what? Even if I shut up, like the pastor said, the body, it's a body ministry. Somebody else would stand up and say something.
Amen.
It's good to have Brother Nick with us tonight.
Amen.
Yes, oh my.
Amen.
I enjoyed and I didn't enjoy his life story because, oh, some of the things he went through, I just couldn't imagine. But you know, the steps of the righteous order of the Lord. How can you appreciate something good if you don't know what's something bad? How can you appreciate Jesus if you haven't experienced the devil a little bit? You know, so I like just experiencing the devil just a little bit. But I like experiencing God a whole lot. You know, because experience the devil a little bit, at least you know what you're dealing with. You know, so, you know, they say keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I don't agree with that. I don't want him that close to me at all. I want him as far away as he can be, you know. So anyway, but Brother Isaac, he's going to get ready to come, and he's going to thoroughly bless you tonight. And how many wants thoroughly blessed all the way through? Yes. You know, God is so good. Let's sing that little song, Shut In With God. And this is a secret place to the world.
Yes, it is.
Oh, but it's open doors to us, isn't it, Brother James?
Amen.
Oh, my. Shut in with God in a secret place. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit. Sing it without any music. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face. Oh, to run in the race, I love to be shut in with God. Let's sing it one more time. Shut in with God in a secret place. I want to hear you all now.
Shut in with God.
Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Amen. To be shut in with God. Amen. Not just in the building natural, but an actual fellowship where you're in Christ and Christ is in you and you can commune with Him like they did back in the Garden of Eden, from husband to wife, more than just a church going, Amen. But a relationship. Amen. That's my desire tonight. Amen. Amen. Just thankful for the opportunity to be here with you. If you want to turn in your Bibles while I'm introducing to Joshua 1. Thankful for the opportunity of the pastor to open his pulpit and just be here with you all. We just appreciate the opportunity and the ones that have come from the church back home. Our pastor, Brother Ray Erickson, to support. We're thankful for them, the Wrights and the Coveys, and may God bless them. I want to read Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Notice that prosperity and where it comes from there. It comes from staying with the word and not turning to the right or to the left. Amen. It says, this book of the law prospers, thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I want to read a few verses. You don't have to turn there if you don't like, out of Genesis, the second chapter, verses 7 through 9 and 15 through 17. And then you can have your seats after we read this scripture. It says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. And good for food, the tree of life in the midst, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in the 15th verse, he says, The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest, surely thereof thou shalt surely die. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence, Father. Just thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us, Father. You gave us that promise that you'd be with us, even in us, to the end of the world. And Father, I pray now that you just take control of this service, Father. You see my nerves, Lord. You see even the indecision, Lord, not sure which direction to go. And so, Father, Lord, it'll have to be you, Father, to take this service, Lord, and use it for your people. And I pray you speak through my lips now, and your anointing would take a hold of this word and minister to the needs of the people here tonight, that they could go away different than what they came, Father. We ask it, Lord, and we commit this service. May you bless the pastor and the assembly here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. And we want to talk, if I could title it tonight, is Stay with the Commission. I've been studying on commission, and it's just really been burning in my heart that there's going to be a people that will stay with the commission. There's going to be a people that won't turn to the right or to the left. And a first commission that was given here in the Garden of Eden when those two trees were planted, it started with a fellowship. Adam was spoken, created by a spoken word from Almighty God, and he was a secondary God here on earth, actually, where he could speak and it would come forth, that he could walk with the lions and the tigers and have a fellowship with God where there was no sickness, no worry, no heartache. It was a communion, a perfect communion in the Garden of Eden where he could speak and it would have to obey. And he heard the voice of God the way that it ought to have been heard back there in the Garden of Eden. There was no deception. It was just a pure word from him and God that he could hear a voice, and he wouldn't have to worry if it was right or if it wasn't. If the Lord said he was going to wake up in the morning, he could go to sleep knowing that he was going to wake up in the morning. There was no worry. There was no heartache. There was no confusion in the garden, but he heard the voice of God the way it ought to be heard in the Garden of Eden. And it wasn't till he lost fellowship when he went out of the garden that those channels began to get clogged up. Those channels to speak as the Son of God ought to be able to speak, to walk with the great tigers and lions, and not worry about getting attacked or worry about pain and worry about sleepless nights. It was a perfect rest in Eden. Oh, and there he fellowshipped with Christ, the tree of life in the garden. You see, these trees that were planted in the garden weren't just natural trees like you'd go out and see, but they were actually people in the garden. It was Christ, the tree of life, that he could fellowship with, and he would never die as long as he was fellowshipping with that tree of life. It was Christ there in the garden that he could fellowship with, but there was also a tree of knowledge of good and evil, the wicked one that stood in the garden as well, that began to creep in, his little voice of confusion. And here they stood together in the garden. And if they would have stayed with the commission, the children of Adam and Eve should have come forth by a spoken word, that Adam could speak and that they would come forth. But there became a voice of Satan begin to come in. He said, "You shall not surely die." He began to bring in a confusion of this commission that they were given. It was a clear commission. Don't eat of the tree. Don't turn to the right or to the left. You shall not surely die, Satan said. He didn't bring a completely different out of left field doctrine, but he said one word differently. You shall not surely die. And Brother Branham said, I hope you don't mind if I quote the prophet, Brother Branham, if you're familiar with him, I hope you are. And if it's a little seed that you don't like or maybe you don't agree with, just spit that out and keep eating the cherry pie, because we believe that we have we're living in an age, it's a special age, a special time where God's visited us in this generation, and we have a word of absolute truth. But in the garden, Satan began to sow his little words of discrepancy and said, "You shall not surely die." And Satan came to Eve as an angel of light. He came as an angel of light, sowing just little lies, just a little bit off the word here, a little bit off the word there. And Brother Brandon, or Paul said in the Bible that if an angel come and preach any other message, let him be accursed. And it came as an angel of light to Eve and began to say, "Oh, the days of miracles are past," or, "Oh, God don't move that way anymore," or "That wasn't exactly right. You shall not surely die." It came, Eve lights that have been sowed all through the ages, that would be so close that they would deceive the very elect if possible, but they didn't stay with the word. They begin to vary a little bit this way, a little bit that way, getting away from the commission in the garden. In Proverbs 7, it talks about a strange woman that with her words and her fair speech would cause you to yield, and the flattering of her lips, she would force you. If she could cause you to yield, maybe she could get you to turn to the side. And that's why you can't stop for a moment when Satan comes and whispers in your ear that he's not still a healer or the Holy Ghost isn't for you. Don't stop for a moment. But if the Bible promises you something, stay with the commission that was given you. Stay with the word of truth that was constant before there ever was, before Satan ever was sowing lies. There was, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Heavens and earth shall pass away, but his word shall never pass away. Oh, ignore those little voices. Don't stop for a moment to listen to that wisdom, that little bit of understanding that maybe you could understand better than someone, and maybe think that you would have more knowledge than someone. But if it's off of the word, Don't stop for a moment to listen to it. Stay with the word. Stay with the commission. But Eve's failure was she traded a natural for a spiritual. God was leading them as a spiritual leadership through the garden. He would talk with them and walk with them and commune with them and would lay them down to sleep at night and would lead them through this garden. But she traded what she had, a spiritual leadership, for a voice of a man that would come in, something a little bit of a creed, a little bit of a doctrine, a little bit different than the voice of God. And she traded that real spiritual leadership to walk with the living God for the voice of a man. And there she compromised with the word. And that's how Satan got in. And then that voice begins to turn and speak to Adam. The very voice that Satan had used to speak to Eve, now Eve is speaking to Adam that you can eat of this tree and you shall not surely die. How Brother Branham said that the church is the closest voice to the believer on earth today. And here was Adam's closest earthly voice, his wife, coming in and speaking to him. It was his closest earthly voice, but he, instead of listening to the heavenly voice that would commune with him, he listened to his closely earthly voice, the church. But to the real believer, the closest earthly voice is God's voice, the word. But she began to listen to the closest earthly voice, and the church would begin to sow doctrines that he's a God of the past, or baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. And Christians throughout ages began to listen to their closest earthly voice, the church, instead of the voice of the Word, which said that baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to come out of denominations. The voice of the Word that laid there for years, the church began to turn and listen to the voice of Eve, of Satan's voice got in through a church, through religion. Satan's voice got in and began to skew it ever so slightly. But it caused the fall. It caused Adam's fellowship to be able to speak and life would come forth. Here they're walking out of the garden, and for the first time in all of creation, Adam can have tears run down his eyes because it's a reality that I'm a man now. I'm leaving fellowship. What's it all about? He must have known as those bloody sheepskins are slapping against his leg that there must be a shadow laying here of something, that God must have allowed this for a reason, that surely he would return to Eden someday. And God, in all of it, God allowed them to make that decision because he was going to express himself as Savior. He was going to express himself as healer to you and I. God allowed it for a reason, but it wasn't the end of the story. It was a shadow of something that was going to come. As they exit fellowship, Adam wasn't deceived, but he loved his wife so much that he went out with her. And he's walking out of fellowship with Almighty God with his wife because he loved her so much. A type of Christ that would come thousands of years later and die for our sins. Not deceived, but he loved us so much that he would leave. He would leave his comforts of this world maybe and die on a cross for your and mine sins. Oh, but there's a restoration coming of fellowship. That tree of life, as they exit this garden, is now guarded from entry. There's cherubim standing there guarding that tree from access. Because if they could access that tree, they could live forever. It was a tree of life. It was fellowship with Christ. That if they could come into that fellowship, they could live forever. But the time for that wasn't yet come. There was a separation. You see, both trees bring separation. If you eat of the tree of life, you're going to have to separate from the things of the world. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to have to make a choice. And that choice was presented to Adam and Eve in the garden. What will you choose this day? What tree will you choose from? Will you choose to serve a living God? Or will you choose to serve these gods of religion and man-made doctrines and mammon? But they made a choice, and it caused a separation from fellowship. But oh, both trees bring separation. Look at Jacob when he got that birthright. He couldn't stay around Esau much longer. When he got that birthright, it brought a separation. He had to separate from the world and the things of the world. He had to separate. You cannot say you love the Lord and then you live in the world. You love the world and the things of the world and you say you love God. The Bible says the love of God isn't even in you because there's not been a separation. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. See, it's not just enough to come out. It's not just enough to come out of denominational systems and still you carry the weight of it into maybe a message church, but you must separate. There must be a separation that comes from a real birth, like Jacob had when he got a real birthright. It brought a separation from those things, from Esau and his religion. But we're all on the same ground today because of that fall. You see, Adam was meant to speak into existence, but because of the fall, they ate of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and by that came death, because now the children are coming forth by the woman, and they ate of that tree, and now it's bringing death. Now all of us are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. We're all on the same grounds. We all come through that death because of the fall, and that's why we need a rebirth. Amen. But there was a Cain and there was an Abel. One of them came from the serpent who had met with Eve in the garden. Another one came from Adam. And here they are coming out of fellowship. And since then, they've always been trying to find a path back to favor with God. You see, Cain and Abel both came and built altars in the garden. They both came to worship. But one of them worshiped with just a head knowledge and just a, well, this is what seems right. I'm going to bring my best. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to raise my hands. That's all I know how to do. But Abel had a revelation of what had happened. He had a revelation of what it would take to get back to God, that there would need to be a blood offering, because it was blood that caused the fall in the beginning, and there would need to be a blood offering. And that didn't come just by learning. That came by spiritual revelation. That's what separated Abel from Cain. Was Abel had a revelation of how to get back into favor with God, what kind of offering he would have to bring, that he couldn't just bring a church joining, he couldn't just bring I pay my tithes, he couldn't just bring a church attendance. God wouldn't accept that. But he had to bring a blood offering by revelation to come on the basis of the word to find favor back with God. But they both worshiped on the outside. Maybe it looked like there was a similar thing going on, but on the inside there was a revelation in Abel that made the difference. And Brother Branham said, except you receive that spiritual revelation, you'll always call these people holy rollers, these real Christians that follow the leadership of Christ. You'll always look down on them and think that they're just a bunch of fanatics or crazy people without that revelation. But those two trees that begin in Genesis, they begin to grow into Exodus. And we look at another set of those trees, as we might call it, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau, as we talk about the exodus of the natural church going into their promised land, there was some mountains that they were going to pass. And Brother Branham calls one Esau's mountain and one of them Jacob's mountain. And here they start out in this first exodus. What was it? They were going from a natural land to a natural land. And there was promises laying there for years of this exodus. In Genesis 15, he said unto Abraham, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said unto Abram, no. You see, he brought him out of Ur to bring him into a land. He didn't just bring him out to wander, but he brought him out to go in into a land, a promised land. And he said, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. But Abraham's seed was never shaken by the length of time that it took God to fulfill his word. You see, some people get in a rush, but God is not known by time or sight. That is not the nature of God. That's not what declares God. God takes his time about things. It's us humans that are dictated by those things and get in a hurry. But Abraham's seed knew that if God made a promise, he would fulfill his word. When God promised Abraham Isaac, he had to wait 25 years. And along the way came an Ishmael, and the devil may have come and whispered in his ear that this is it, that you, this is all you're going to get. This is your Isaac. You were confused somewhere along the line, but Abraham's seed said, I know I've been promised an Isaac, and I won't settle for an Ishmael, because God keeps his word. And when God promised you healing, and maybe it's gotten a little bit better, praise the Lord, but keep staying with the commission and walk into your complete healing. If he promised you the Holy Ghost, and you've been justified, and you're living a sanctified life, that that's good, but don't settle for that. When God made a promise, he will fulfill it. If you stay with the commission, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you repent and be baptized, if you've been called, then it's for you. It's for those that he called, but you got to stay with the commission. And they stayed with this commission for 400 years, though I'm sure they got weary, and I'm sure young men rose up and they thought, maybe this is our deliverer. But through all those 400 years and all the weariness and all the building and all the hardships, they stayed with the promise. They kept their eyes on the commission that one day their time of visitation would come, that Moses would come and be born up, the deliverer would come. Though it took 400 years, God was right on time, and they stayed with the commission. And they let the word that laid in there for years and years become their word. You see, the word of healing, that God would heal your body, or God would deliver your soul, or God would bring you joy or peace. That words, there's promises in the Bible that say that. But if it's just a promise in the Bible that's been sitting there for years, it won't. It's just a good promise. It's just a good word. But what you got to do tonight is take that word that's laid there for years and let it become your word. If you need healing, take the word that I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases tonight and let it become your word, because he's still in the healing business. He's never left his commission. If he said he was a healer, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he said he was a deliverer, he's still the same today as he was back then. So let that word become your word and don't leave it until it comes to pass, but stay with the commission through the trials, through the heartaches, because Moses was born. There was coming a boy that would come that would fulfill this promise. Some might have left during that time because they got discouraged, but those that stayed with the word, their deliverer was coming on the scene. And you won't be satisfied. Moses could never be satisfied under Pharaoh's rulership. He can never be satisfied in that temple. There was a deep calling, knowing that there's more for me to do. There's a word in this Bible that speaks of a deliverer, and I can't get away from the feeling that it's me, because there's a deep calling. There's something in that scripture that connects with me that I can't leave it. I can't stray from it. I cannot be satisfied just learning under Pharaoh's rulership. There's a deliverer that must come on the scene, and he began to connect with that. And God, maybe you see God moving in a preacher, or you see God moving in a prophet, Brother Branham, and you think, my, there's a reality there, and there's something in me that I can't settle for less than that reality. There's something in me that's still calling, that I go to church and I read my Bible, but there's something more to be had, a fellowship like Adam had in the garden, where I can come into that communion that they lost in the garden, and I can fellowship like they did back then, and I can commune. There's something in me that's calling for that, and if there's a deep call, there's a deep to respond, that there is a fellowship to be had. There is a reality to be had. Oh, but let that word become your word, and don't settle until that deep is satisfied in your heart. You see, Moses rose up and he had failures. He started off thinking he was sent and there was a calling on his life, but he just got ahead of the word and he went without that commission, and he slewed an Egyptian and it wasn't under the commission. And look what happened. He got sent into the wilderness for 40 years, but he met a pillar of fire. And after he met that mighty God in a burning bush, he went and slew an entire Egyptian army, and nothing was said about it, because he did it under the commission, because he was now under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Oh, he got under something that he met in that burning bush. It was a reality. It was the confirmation of the commission. Brother Brandon would say, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the confirmation that God's commissioned you, that something's come on your heart, something that you could never be satisfied without. And now that confirmation comes in your life, and now you're walking under commission. You see, if you're just walking in your own ideas, if you're just walking under some maybe natural leadership, thinking that you're doing the will of God, that's where you're in danger. You see, prosperity came to Joshua not because of big buildings or because of a bunch of bright lights, but prosperity became because he stayed with the word, because he wouldn't turn to the right or the left. And when Moses came under that commission, now he's set, his goals are set. The pillar of fire is now leading them out of Egypt. He's got a leadership in the commission. Oh, and what he did with that commission, he could be fearless. And that's why when God commissioned us in Mark 16 to go into all this world and preach the gospel, go and lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover, he said, but first go up to Pentecost and you must be born again. You must receive the Holy Ghost. before you do these things, you must go up to Pentecost. That's where it was going to start. And I can't call myself a preacher, and we can't call ourselves Christians without that birth that Moses had in that burning bush. You must meet God face to face. Moses learned more about God in 5 minutes in the burning bush than he could learn in 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. You see, under Pharaoh's credentials, he was a failure. He could kill one Egyptian and be a failure. But when he got under the credentials of Almighty God's seal on his life that I've called you and I commissioned you, then he could go with the confidence, and he could walk fearlessly because he knew he was in the commission. He knew he had met God, and the I Am had sanctioned him to do this work. And under that pillar of fire leadership, he could go forth with boldness because he knew where he was in the Word. He knew he was called. He knew it by the Word. He didn't just know it because some preacher told him. He didn't just know it because someone came up to him and spoke some kind words or some fancy speech over his life. But he knew it because he had met God in a burning bush. Amen. And the Bible says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Not just that, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That you must receive, not just to believe. The devil believes and trembles. It's not just enough to believe that God sent a prophet. It's not just enough to go to church, but you must receive, since you believe that God recognized your faith, like he recognized Abraham's, like he recognized believers throughout the centuries, and he sends back the seal on your life that you're a believer, the confirmation of the commission that he's with you. That's when you can walk fearlessly, because you know he's with you. Moses could walk that way. But even in the journey, he made mistakes. You see, the water source was cut off because there was some complaining going on in the journey. There was some had left Egypt, and they began to hunger for the garlic that they had left behind. You see, they got dissatisfied with the pillar of fire leading them. They left garlic and onions to eat angels' food, and they were complaining. They left the muddy waters of Egypt to drink from the fountain of life, and they were complaining. They left boasting physicians of Egypt to be with the great physician, and they were complaining. They left a bunch of people that believes the days of miracles is past, and they went to be with a bunch of people that believed all things were possible, and yet they were complaining. They left the people back there that had no signs to be led by a pillar of fire and cloud, and yet they were complaining. Out in the middle of desert, under supernatural leadership, they were complaining because their water sources were cut off, because they were complaining, though they were led by the Holy Spirit. Look how the first church started out. Look how Eden started out, how they had fellowship with God in the garden. And now look how this first church going out of Egypt starts out. Brother Branham said that God watched over them. God was a father king to them. God hovered over them. He met their every need. When they were thirsty, he gave them water. When they were hungry, he fed manna down from heaven. God watched over them like a father king. But they looked out, and they seen Philistine armies, and they seen these other armies that had natural kings ruling over them. Here they were led by a pillar of fire, but they saw armies with natural kings, and they thought, my, we don't like how we stick out here. We want to be like them. We want to have a natural king like them. And here they make the mistake of getting ahead of the word, which they were not supposed to do. Because you see, God was going to give them a natural king in the man Jesus Christ. He was going to give them a king one of those days, but they got ahead of the word instead of letting the word lead. And they said, we want a king like they have. And Samuel the prophet, who they were complaining to, said, oh Lord, they've rejected me. My heart is broken. Here I am. I've tried to take care of them. I try to lead them, and now they want a natural king to lead over them. What have I done wrong? But he said, no, they've not rejected you, but they've rejected me from ruling over them. Here I am ruling over them, and they've rejected me for natural leadership. They rejected real Holy Ghost leadership in the church for natural leadership because they wanted to be like the rest of the armies. And the prophet said, when they reject that, they rejected the very thing that made them different. They said, we'll still blow the horns. We'll still march like we used to. We'll still have all the outward appearance like we used to, but we want a natural king instead of spiritual leadership, which was the very thing that separated Cain and Abel in the garden. It was spiritual revelation. And here they said, we're going to give up our birthright for natural leadership. We're going to give up the very thing that makes us different, to be led by a natural king. And they rejected Christ. the only thing that made him different. You see, it doesn't matter if you go to a Methodist church or a Lutheran church or a message church. If you reject real Holy Ghost leadership in your life, you're just the same as a Lutheran or a Baptist. It's not enough just to come out of it. You have to separate from the thing, take off the yoke, and put on the yoke of Christ. You can't just come and sit in a message church and that saves you. You must come to a real experience like Moses did and said, Lord, I'm not satisfied until this deep calling is met by a deep, a real reality to come and settle this hunger in my heart. Oh, they couldn't be satisfied. Oh, but here they were. They had the birthright, like Esau had the birthright, and they were willing to give it up to fit in with everything else for a mess of pottage. Oh, complainers in the journey. Oh, but did not, they say in Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here they were complaining, but he said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And see, I'd rather have that. If you don't have a penny to your name, you might have buildings and buildings. You might have millions of dollars. But if you stray from one word, you've left your prosperity. Prosperity isn't a dollar amount. Or big buildings are going to all the world and build schools. Prosperity was to stay with the word. And the commission in the beginning was going to the world and preach the gospel. It wasn't just to build great big buildings or go with millions of dollars and some great big shiny lights. But the commission was to preach the gospel. And that's where the prosperity lies. If you stay with the word, if the word promises you something, stay with the commission. And that's where you'll prosper. If you leave it for money, if you leave it for popularity, you've left your prosperity, even if it makes you fit in with the rest of the world, even if it makes you fit in with other church members, if they're not in line with the word, you've left your prosperity. But you must come in line with the word. Oh, and that's where your prosperity is. They said, if we could just, Brother Branham said, the one difference between Israel and the rest of the nations was God. Put God to one side, and Israel was like any other nation. When Samson cut his hair, he was like any other man. And if you put the leadership of the Holy Ghost aside, the church is nothing but the world with God's name attached to it. You see, the world and the church are of the same lump, just as Jacob and Esau were of the same parents. Is this my water, Brother Eric?
Thank you.
You see, if you put the Holy Ghost aside, the world is nothing but the church. This world is nothing but the church, nothing but the world with God's name attached to it. And you see, The rod that was in Moses' hand, if they could have just got it out of his hand, that would have destroyed them. That they would have been able to take him down if they could have just got the rod out of Moses' hand. And Brother Branham said that rod in Moses' hand is the name of Jesus in the church today. And if they could just get, and Brother Branham said if they could just get the deity out of the name of Jesus, they have the church whipped. You see, Satan's so subtle that he won't just come in and take the name of Jesus out of the church. You know, you'll still sing songs with Jesus' name in it. You'll still preach about Jesus, but then you go out during the week and you blaspheme in the same name and you don't keep it sacred. The deity's been taken out of it. You know, the power has been taken out of it because you didn't keep it sacred. And if they could just get that out of the church, Brother Man said, if they can just kill the influence of the message, then they have the thing whipped. You see, he's so subtle that he won't just take maybe the message all the way out of the church. He won't just say maybe that Brother Branham was, he might say Brother Branham was a false prophet, but he might also just come in and change little things and say, oh, add a little here, just enough to kill the influence of it till it has no power in your life. Just enough to where you can come to church and the Spirit of God don't move and you don't have any expectation because he's just a God of the past or a God of the future somewhere. That's how subtle Satan is. If he could just kill the influence of it, he has the thing whipped. So that's why you got to stay holy with the word. See, Moses' ministry in the first Exodus was to bring them out. And he brought them out through justification and sanctification. But he couldn't take them over into Jordan because he was just a type of the law. He had failed. He had smote the rock twice when God had commanded him to smite it once and then speak to it. And he broke the whole theme of the Bible because Christ was only meant to be smitten once on the cross for our sins. And when he broke that, he couldn't enter into the promised land. But God took care of him. He provided a rock where he could be buried.
he was seen thousands of years later on a mountain with Elijah. God provided a grace for his life, even though maybe he had failed along the journey in the path of duty. God's grace was on his life. God provided a rock for him, but he couldn't go into the promised land. So God raised up a Joshua with the commission, like we read, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with you." Forgive my voice. See, the pillar of fire anointed the prophet the same as he anointed. The pillar of fire had anointed Moses to stand as a witness that Moses was called out, to stand as a witness that he was leading the children of Israel along this journey. You see, but that same promise came to Joshua, that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's the same pillar of fire that led Moses, "I'm going to lead you all the way, the rest of the way, into this promised land." You see, we know he's with us because we stay with the commission. We know he's with us by the word. You see, the pillar of fire doesn't just show up by chance, but the pillar of fire is here for leadership, to lead us to the along the journey, to lead us into the great millennium. The pillar of fire, Joshua, maybe the devil would come in and say, oh, you're just imagining it now. Oh, you think it's still there, but it's just a glare. It's just a reflection of the sun. And Joshua might get discouraged, but he knew the word. He knew by the word that as God was with Moses, so he would be with him. Even when the devil would come in and say, well, maybe that's not actually it. Maybe it's not leading you. Maybe you accidentally got on the wrong track and you're following the wrong light. He couldn't fall for that deception because he had a word that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So he knew the pillar of fire was with him because he was commissioned. He didn't think that he was commissioned because the pillar of fire showed up one day, but he was already commissioned and the pillar of fire was with him. He knew it by the word. And that same pillar of fire has visited us in our age. And if it would show up here tonight, that would be wonderful. And I believe it is here because I believe it accompanies God's message. I believe it is here. But even if you didn't see it, even if no one saw it tonight, I wouldn't be discouraged that it wasn't here, because I'm not basing it upon my feelings. I'm basing it because I read in the word that he would be with us, even in us, to the end of the world. I know he's here with me because I met him in a burning bush one day. I had an experience where he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and so I know by the word that he would be with that church, that real church, even in us to the end of the world. I'm not basing it because I could see it, and I believe you can see it. I believe it's with us, but the devil could come in and say, "Oh, that was just the psychology. Oh, that was not real. You just imagined that." And maybe the next person would come and say, "Oh, I saw a pillar of darkness over you." And then where who do I believe? But it's with us because we're with the word. We're with the commission. And so we know he's leading us into the millennium. We know he's leading his church because he's identified it in the word that he would be with those that had come out and received a reality, those that had met God, those that were not just a church natural, but those that were led by the Spirit, that had received the Holy Ghost. And so we know that he's with us, even in us. You may not see it, but you who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a little lick of that fire is on the inside of you, and it's leading you. So even if you don't see it today, even if you don't see it naturally, you know by the word that he's with you, even in you, leading you into every promise. By the word, because you've stayed with the commission, because by the word you know it. Stay with that word. You can get discouraged because one day someone may come up and say you're a good Christian. Tomorrow you may feel like a bad Christian, and if you base it on that, then you'll be up and down. But if you stay with the word, stay with the commission, you can live an overcoming life, because you come the provided way. You came through justification, you came through sanctification, you came out of Egypt over the Red See, but now you've come into the promised land. You're following that pillar of fire, and you know that he's with you, because the word said he would be with us, even in us, to the end of the world. Oh, but you got to go all the way. And that same pillar of fire has come in this age and had its picture taken with our Moses, a man, Brother Branham. And if you've never seen it, we can show it to you. It's a reality in this age. And we know that the same pillar of fire that came down and sanctioned Brother Branham's life is leading the church today. The Joshua is the type of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost church is being led by that same pillar of fire into the millennium. Oh, you're coming to church on a Wednesday night and you think it's just another service, but don't feel to realize like Elijah could say to Gehazi that was with him one day, Lord, open this boy's eyes, show him the angels all around this mountain. You see, Elijah may not have even seen them, but he had read in the Bible that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He knew by the word that the angels were with him, but he said, Lord, open this boy's eyes to show him that on a Wednesday night, the pillar of fire is still here in 2022, leading a church of people that have received a reality. They've come under the leadership of the Moses of this day, and they're following that same pillar of fire into millennium. Oh, Lord, open these people's eyes to see that there's a reality. The same pillar of fire wasn't gone thousands of years ago, but it's here today. It's here today. I've maybe never seen it with my personal eyes, but I've seen a picture, and a camera won't take psychology. Almighty God has had his picture taken with the Moses in our day. He's identified that he's here, and he said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. He didn't leave with Brother Brandon, but he's still here leading the church today. Goals that stay with the commission. How do you know he's with you? Because he said it in his word, and I'm going to stay with the commission because he'll never leave his commission, his bride. Oh, open our eyes, Lord, to look beyond what you see and know that you're in the commission. Look beyond the Red Sea. Look beyond the Jordan that's flooding. Look beyond the critics. Oh, and look to the commission. What a courage to the sick person, the backslider. Turn yourself around and head back to God. It's his business to open up the Red Sea. You may be a backslider tonight. You maybe have left God, but he never left you. If there's still a desire in your heart to serve him tonight, he's still here with open arms to receive you. What do you do? Turn around and head back to God. It's his business to open up the Red Sea. Follow the way back to life. Follow the way back to the tree that they left in the garden where you can eat of it and live forever. You may be bit off the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and you've come into a life of sin. You were born in sin. We were all born into sin, but there is a way back to life. Oh, he never left you. You left him. And if there's still a desire, the door of grace is not closed for you. Oh, but you got to go back to that tree that they left. Put the word first. Put the word first. You see, they were going to Jordan, but they were going to pass by Esau's mountain. Here was that tree. Here, those two trees that were planted in the garden. They were on separate sides of the Jordan. You see, that's what separates them. It's a reality. It's a real new Holy Ghost. It's a real birth, a new birth, a Holy Ghost experience. That's what Jordan was, a type of going over into the Holy Ghost. That's what separated Jacob and Esau. And he said, you're going to pass by your brethren, but don't stop. Don't stop and flirt with them. Don't stop. And that's their mountain. That's what God ordained for them. But, oh, don't stop. You'll pick up their habits. You see, Joshua had to keep them marching on because they had already tasted the blood. And if they saw this army, they might want to go over to that army because they'd already tasted the blood. But he said, don't stop. That's not your mountain. Your mountain lays on the other side of Jordan. Your mountain is Jacob's mountain. Your inheritance lies beyond this. Don't stop here at these denominations. And Brother Brand said they've already tasted. Pentecostals have already tasted of denominationalism. So he had to keep them. It was so easy for them to turn aside because they already had the taste of it in their mouth. But he says, your inheritance lays beyond that. Don't stop. You'll pick up their habits. You try to get all the Baptists to see it, but that's not their mountain. They were never meant to see that. That was their allotted portion. But he said, to you that there's a deep calling to the deep, to you that's got something in you that you're not satisfied, there's a mountain that lays beyond for you. And maybe you come into the church tonight and you've just been justified. Maybe you're living a life of sin, but there's something that says, I'm not satisfied here. I go to church every service, but I'm not satisfied. Oh, there's a mountain that lays for you just beyond the Jordan. You can come and meet him like Moses met him at the burning bush. You can come to Jacob's mountain, a real reality, a real experience where you can fellowship with him again. You don't have to stay on Esau's mountain. Oh, you're not meant to go. You're not meant to go and try to get them all to see it. That's their mountain. But if there's an eagle in there, he won't be satisfied on that mountain. He'll have to come out into Jacob's mountain. If there's a real eagle in that chicken yard, they're going to see it. There's nothing that can stop them from seeing it. If they're a child of God, he will not lose a one of his. Oh, but that's their portion. That's their mountain. Don't go and try to, you're not meant, you'll pick up their habits. But your inheritance is on the other side of the river. So what mountain satisfies your deep? Oh, don't stop. Don't let them go on through. Don't argue with them. but we're passing to another land. That they wasn't ordained. If they was ordained to go with Israel, they would have, but they weren't ordained to. So you don't have to go and try to get all the denominations to see it, because that's not their mountain. You must keep pressing beyond the Jordan. If you've come to a sanctified life and you're feeling a little comfortable and you think you can try to get all of your friends to see it, it's good to witness, don't get me wrong, but make sure you keep pressing past that Jordan to your inheritance. Press into that new birth. Press into a reality. Stay with the commission. That pillar of fire is leading to the promised land. And you, where there's a deep calling to the deep, don't stop until that deep is satisfied with the reality. As for me and my house, Joshua said, they had crossed the Jordan. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they would say, he said, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. They said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he said, then put away the strange gods. Separate yourself from these things. And Brother Branham said, anything between you and God is an idol. And it may be something that would seem so innocent, but if it's between you and God, it's an idol. And put away those idols. Put away those strange gods. Oh, Dr. Dobson may have good things to say, but that's not your inheritance. Press beyond that. Put away those strange gods. Television may be got between you and God. Maybe it started innocent, but it's become an idol in your life. Put away those strange gods. Those strange gods, the televangelists, they may seem so good on the outside. They have all the glamour, but stay with the commission and put away the strange gods that are keeping you from a full fellowship. Those strange gods, separate yourself from them. Oh, you came into a message church, but separate yourself from the things of the world. Separate yourself from the strange gods which have come in and built idols in your life and have kept you out from reality. Oh, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's not lasting. But if you're thirsty, if there's a deep calling, there's a well that will never run dry. If you put away those strange gods and serve the living God, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. There's a reality there. If there's a deep calling, just try it one time and see if it don't satisfy something in you that you didn't know what was wrong with you. There's something been different about you. You've been different from your friends and you didn't know what was wrong. And then you met Jesus one day and you said, this is what was missing. I was missing a reality, but I met it in Christ. I met it at a burning bush. Oh, it's a reality. And there were some Rahabs to receive it. You see, Rahab received it. Rahab received Joshua and his commission. And because of it, her and her house were saved. And because of that, she's one of the great grandmothers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because she believed, because she received the commission. And now that Christ, which came from that lineage, comes onto the earth, bringing an exodus out of Judaism, an exodus to that first church. And he comes on the earth, and he's walking, that second Adam coming to redeem the world, going up the hill, little spots on his back getting bigger as he walks on, and they grow into one spot. What is it? There goes the second Adam. No more than Jehovah himself, who comes down and is made flesh. He even would go to hell with his sweetheart to redeem her back to the one who Christ to redeem his bride. Hallelujah. He's seen it in Adam yonder. He come down and was made flesh that he might marry the human race to himself. You see, the critics come in and said he was washed up. He said, why couldn't he call the angels down to rescue him? He must not be the Son of God. But he wasn't washed up. He was staying with what he was commissioned to do. He was prospering because he was commissioned. He was sent to this earth to die for our sins. Before the foundation of the world, he was already the lamb slain in the mind of God. And he had to make the decision, Lord, not my will but thine. Why did he do it? Because he had Eve on his mind. The critics said he was washed up. The critics said, surely he must not have been the Son of God if he's going to die human death on a cross. But he was staying in the word that he was meant to accomplish, and he was prospering in that word because that's what he was sent to do. Though the world criticized it, he held fast because he was fulfilling his commission. He had you and me on his mind. He had Eve on his mind. He had redemption on his mind. He had Adam and Eve that had fell in the garden. He said, I'm going to restore it back. Amen. Oh, prospering, accomplishing what he was sent to do, because he stayed with the word that he was here to accomplish. And they killed him down. They killed him. He was sent down, but he never, he when he was in hell, he wasn't defeated. He was conquering the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You see, they could only kill down so far because there was some life in the roots. Eve was laying there in the roots. We were still there. There was still a restoration to be had. Fellowship was still going to be restored, so they could only kill him so far, because there was some predestinated fruit laying in those roots. And he came forth in a resurrection. He had confidence that before those 3 days were ever up, before corruption ever set in, that he would come forth out of that grave. Because he stayed with the commission, because the word said that he would rise, he could stay with that word and have confidence that he was going to rise. He didn't have to worry, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. The word had already spoken it, and he rose from that grave. And that same spirit, if it dwell in us, that dwelt in Christ, shall also quicken our mortal bodies. Oh, but you got to stay. Stay with that commission. Oh, my, that church rose. That first church came up. But it had to go, and during it had to go, that first church rose, and the Lord was with them. They cast out devils, they healed the sick. But that seed had to go into the ground through the dark ages. That seed that was raised had to go through, because there was going to be a restoration. Those messengers of death came in and destroyed that tree. Christ was that tree in the garden. Christ was that tree that died for us on the cross. And here come in these four insects of death, the palmer worm, the locust, the canker worm, the caterpillar. Here they are. They're destroying the fruits of the Spirit. They're destroying divine fellowship. They're destroying real spiritual leadership and exchanging it for natural leadership. They're denominating the word of God, and they're killing that perfect tree. Oh, destroying that tree. But Joel had promised a restoration. You see, there was a commission, and the church was in no condition to finish it out, because Eve lights had come in. Eve lights had come in, and they had all 900 and thousands of different denominations of what was right, how to baptize, how to preach, how to do this. We have this creed, this prayer. It had come into a place where they were in no place to fulfill the commission. But there was coming a third Exodus in this day, where the pillar of fire that was with Moses would take a bride out of this word, would take a bride when denominations had built up saying, oh, Jesus is going to come 60 feet tall from the sky. There was an Exodus happening where God was taking a little bride out of the church from the spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost, leading us to a millennium. There had to be a restoration. Because there was a Malachi 3 that introduced Messiah in the first coming. But there was a Malachi 4 that said, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Who'll turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. Brother Branham was commissioned to bring this message. He was commissioned. There was going to be a Joshua that wouldn't turn to the right or to the left. There was going to be a real leadership that would take a bride out of denominations, that wouldn't compromise on one word. That wouldn't. You see, denominations can never fulfill that, because they had in so many creeds and dogmas that they can never be that bride. You see, Nicodemus said, can we go into the womb again and be reborn? Can we go into the mother's womb again and be reborn? But he said, no, you must be born by water and spirit. But by woman came death. When we were born in this world, we came through a woman, and that's why we had to be reborn. And they've come, and they've tried to be reborn through the woman again by just a handshake. They tried to receive a real experience in a denomination of putting your name on a book. They tried to be born again through the woman, but that was what was wrong with our first birth, because we got away from that tree of life, and we were born in a natural woman, and that's why we had to receive a real new birth. And so they tried to replace that with another birth through a denomination, through a handshake. But that's what was wrong with your first birth. You must be born by water and by spirit. Oh, the prophet led us out of those things, and he led us back into fellowship, where the mystery of God should be finished in this day in Revelation 10:7, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And there would be a people that would take that book and eat it, and that they would prophesy again, a people that would realize that just going to church isn't enough. There's a people that would, God, when Eve fell in the beginning, said, I'm going to find someone I can have confidence in. I'm going to find a group of people, a second Eve that won't fail me. I'm going to have another Eve that I can have confidence in, that she'll stay with that word. There's going to be some Rahabs that are going to receive that message. Oh, Moses may be gone, but we've had an Exodus in our day, and there's going to be some Rahabs that are going to receive it, the message of our hour, that are going to say, Lord, I'll believe it. Lord, I'll stay with that message. I'll stay with real Holy Ghost leadership. I won't trade it for just a church going. I won't trade it for a creed. Oh, under our messenger, under the headship of this message, going back into a fellowship. Oh, he called us out to lead us in. Not just come out. You see, if you just come out, the problem of not going into Christ, the problem of not having a real Holy Ghost feeling is that you'll think you're prospering when in reality you're denying the very commission. Moses maybe thought he was prospering, but he hadn't yet got the commission, and it ended up a failure. And you think you're prospering because you're baptizing thousands and thousands, and maybe they're baptizing them in the wrong name, and they think they're prospering because they're religious. They're doing the work of God, it would seem, but they got away from the commission. They think they're prospering, but they got away from the word, cutting their hair and wearing garments that pertain to a man, thinking they're prospering, but you must get back to the word. You see, you're trying to put on the image of a man, but that's not your position. And leadership of man was never meant to take us into the millennium. It has to be real Holy Ghost leadership. You must come back to the word. That must be your headship. You must come back to the commission. You see, you must stay with that. You must come back to a real word where you preach the gospel in power and demonstration, not in word only. You must come back to the commission. Brother Brandon would say, that's why I stepped away from the Baptist church. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I believe my God ought to be worshipped in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I don't believe in your old cold formal creeds. He wants to be loved. Look at him sitting over there. Can't be loved. He can't be loved because of the way he's treated. He's talking about the woman washing his feet. Here are the religious Simons, the religious Pharisees, were persecuting him and laughing him. But there was a woman that said, I'll wash your feet. He says, you self-made seminary chickens of pastors, try to place the dirty name of Holy Roller on the worship of Jesus. No wonder your congregation don't stand taller. It's the way you treated them. If you would have preached the Bible and the power and demonstration, power of the resurrection of Christ, saints would be shouting in every church in the Maricopa Valley. He said, it's not Jesus' fault, it's your fault. You see, Brother Branham had to leave the Baptist church because he believed that God deserved to be worshipped. He didn't believe in just worshipping in vain traditions. He believed he had to leave denominations to worship God the way Abel worshipped him, in real power and demonstration, real revelation. He had to come out of that to fulfill the commission to worship, that God would knock on denominational doors and they wouldn't hear him, they wouldn't let him in. But there's a bride that says, I'll come out of that to worship God. I'll come out of that. And worship isn't just with your lips. Worship, perfect worship, is a life lived. Perfect worship is when God dwells in the stature of man and reflects himself into that being. That's perfect worship. That's able worship. It comes through a real experience. It comes through blood, where you die out to God and he places his life back in you. You see, God deserves to be worshiped in power and demonstration. Abe worshipped in vain. Esau worshipped in vain. That tree, that other tree, has always worshipped in vain. But there's a real bride that says, I'll worship him in power and demonstration. I'll worship him the way he deserves to be worshiped. Not just with going to church. Not just with putting my name on a book. But I'll worship him with a life lived. I'll worship him in such a way that he can come and live in me until I'll lay all my habits aside and give him my lips that he could speak. I'll give him my hands that he could work through me. I'll give him my thoughts that he could think through me. I'll give him everything I am. I'll not just go to church. I'll be a living oracle for Almighty God, that he could place his life in me and worship through me, that his word could be made manifest in me. It's going to take more than just Cain's vain worship. It's going to take a real worship, a real revelation, where you lay it all down and you say, Lord, come and commission me. Come and confirm that you're with me. Come and satisfy this deep longing in my heart for more of God. Back to Abel worship. There's going to be some Rahabs that receive it. You know, that brother Ronnie that was here not too long ago, just recently he was preaching down in Georgia, and he was preaching on the way back to life. And there was a believing sister there that had a tumor on her breast. And when he was preaching, there came such an anointing at the end of the service. He was preaching in power and demonstration. He was preaching as a commissioned son of God ought to preach. And at the end of that service, a sister, a Rahab, she recognized the presence of God, and she came up and she came for prayer. And under that anointing, there was a prayer prayed that if she would believe, that it would be gone in a day. And we have the voice recording. We have the doctors. I have already taken the scans. And the very next day, she began to feel for that. She was listening to Brother Branham preach a message, and he began to speak to her needs. And she couldn't find that tumor that was there the day before. She couldn't find it. She went to the doctor, and the scans wouldn't show it. You see, she received the word. She received the commission. That Seth, Brother Seth was here last time. Seth and his wife Mariah, they were designed to have a baby for years and years. But you see, God promised that if we ask, we shall receive. God's promised to hear our prayers, but they let that word become their word. And they begin to claim that promise. And for months they claimed it. And now they're expecting a baby, and it's coming, and just very soon, this very week, we're supposed to find out if it's a boy or girl, because they let the word become their word. Because they, like Rahab, believed it and received it. They didn't just watch it go by and say, my, this preacher's real crazy. This preacher sweats a lot and spits a lot. But they were in tune with the word, and they received it and said, that's my word. It's not just a word, that's my word. And I'm going to receive it. If no one else does, I'm going to be a Rahab. Oh, he's leading us back, redeeming his Eve, taking us out of the word, an Eve that would not fail him, an Eve that he could have confidence in. He set forth a bride tree, a man and a woman like the trees that was in the Garden of Eden. Two trees, one of them the tree of life and one the tree of death. And what did he do? He came to redeem this tree. So since he redeemed it at Calvary, he's ready to plant her now. Oh my, I get to feeling religious when you say that. See, to restore his bride tree, the one that should have been in Eden, but she fell there because she disbelieved the word. But he's restored, and we're going to restore a tree that will believe the word. A bride, you see, we may not be in the millennium yet, but there's an Eden available where you can come into fellowship with Christ. And you won't find it in the denomination. You won't find it in just coming here and sitting on a pew. You'll find it in Christ. By one Spirit, you must be baptized into that body. That's where God's chosen place of worship is. That's where fellowship is in Christ. Back in Christ, you can have fellowship with him. Fellowship has been restored. There's a channel of restoration available that he will restore everything that death killed. And the only way it can remain dead is let it lay in the wrong place. But if it falls in the right place, it's got to come back to life again. So God, let us fall in the right channel for a restoration. You see, this message of the hour has opened us a way back to God. Almighty God has descended in this age. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. And there's some Rahabs to receive him. It may look humble. It may look like just a maybe a someone that you're awed to all your friends. All your friends think you're odd. They say, what's wrong with this girl? What's wrong with this boy? He said, there's a deep calling that won't be satisfied. There's something in me that there's a reality to be had. There's a fellowship to be had. I want a fellowship with God. I don't believe he's just a God way far off, but I believe he can speak to me. I don't believe his arm's too short that he can't reach down and pick me up when I'm discouraged. And that fellowship is available. Oh, to those that stay with the commission. Maybe we could bow our heads as we closed. You know, Moses thought, my, I can't speak good. I'm slow of speech. Lord, how will I ever do it? How will I ever be able to fulfill the commission? But Moses was born for it. Brother Branham thought, my, how will I ever, the question he had was, am I insufficient for the job? The commission was to pray for the sick, and he had a question, am I insufficient for the job? But oh, there came a word, for such a thing you were born, for such a reason you were born. Oh, and if there's a deep calling to the deep in your heart, maybe you're an eagle that's been hatched out in a chicken yard, and you can't be satisfied. You're miserable because you weren't born just to serve on Esau's mountain. You weren't born to stop and just go to church. There's something in you that's hungering for a real relationship with God. There's something in you because you were born for a purpose, because you were born to be a real eagle. And Brother Brand said that eagle in a cage is so miserable, beating its head on the chains, beating its head on the bars. There must be something to open the cage. There must be a release. And he said, that's God's calling on your life. When God called you, that was the opening of the cage. The promise is unto you and your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if you're desiring the Holy Ghost tonight, if you're desiring a real experience and God's calling at your heart, the cage is open. But that tree, those trees are before you today saying, oh, who will you serve? Will you serve God or will you serve the world? But there's something in you tonight that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe if you're desiring something from the Lord tonight, you just lift your hand and say, Lord, I want a deeper walk with you. Lord, maybe you need the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost tonight. I want a real experience. Maybe you have need of healing and the devil's tried to talk you out of it and say it wasn't for you. But you say, Lord, tonight I'm letting the word become my word because it's what I've been commissioned to do. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you just be merciful tonight, Father. I know I'm a poor excuse of a preacher, but Lord, we've had a word in this day that's restored us back, Father. You've called us out of the confusion. You've called us out of denominational systems. Lord, there's some eagles here tonight, Father, Lord, that you've called out and said, Lord, I'm desiring a reality. I'm desiring a relationship. Father, one of these days you're going to take us back to the Garden of Eden where you will wipe the last tear from our eyes. Lord, you will wipe that tear from our eyes, but Lord, we don't have to wait till then to have fellowship, Lord. There's a reality available tonight, Father, where a 23-year-old boy, Father, could meet you, Lord, and could fellowship with you. And Lord, I know if you could do it for me, Lord, it's available to as many as you would call. And Father, if there's a hunger in someone's heart tonight, I pray you just meet it, Lord. I pray you just satisfy that hungry heart, Father. May they come back to that commission, Lord. Maybe they strayed off somewhere. May they return, Lord, to that channel where you could commune with them, where all things are possible, where they would leave those habits and the things of the world behind and serve you, put away their strange gods and serve a living God. Father, I pray you bless their lives. I pray you bless this assembly, Lord. May it become a soul-winning station for you, Lord. May it become a house on fire that would stand for this commission, that would stand for the message of the hour, Lord, that wouldn't stray to the right or the left, but would stay with what we've been called to stay with. Father, we commit it in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. As the musicians come and the leader of songs, why don't you give them a hand clap of praise tonight? Amen. Isn't it good to serve a living God? Amen. I mean, isn't it good to know what you're commissioned to do, to not be confused? Amen. Do you have a song?
Amen.
Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
My. You know, I was sitting back here listening to the Word of God, and I was thinking about the world out there and how they might go into the theater and they might watch a 2 or 3 hour movie and not get one eternal nothing from that. But yet we can sit here for 45 minutes to an hour and get enough truth to take us from death unto life, from this earth into heaven. And why would you not take advantage of it? And I'll tell you why you wouldn't take advantage of it. It's not in you to take. But thank God there's a group of people our brother's preaching about that we're more than able. And the only reason we're more than able is because he's more than able, and he's doing the work in us. You know, God is so good. You walk out into the world all the time. We're just always rubbing shoulders with the world. And you see all these people not excited about nothing of God. But yet you run across the path every once in a while of someone that's starting to get excited about God.
Amen.
And there's a couple that's starting to become pretty good friends of mine. And they had came, me and my brother lived next door to each other. And there's always people coming in and out of my brother's driveway, you know, looking at cars or whatever. So anyway, I just happened to be walking out one night down my deck and on my driveway. And there's some people out there in my brother's driveway. And they're out there talking, and this guy's got this big old truck, and that caught my eye, to be honest with you. I like big trucks. And he said, "Hey, this is my brother Eric," and we start to talk, and there's a group of us out there, maybe six or eight of us or whatever, the group, and we get to talking out there about just this and that. And next thing you know, something brought up about God. And the next thing you know, when God is brought up, the presence starts to change around there. So we get to talking, and this one fella, his name's Hanson, and he's here tonight. He's standing right back here. And anyway, we get to talking. He's got his better half is pregnant at this time, and she's got this big old pregnancy here. And so we get to talking, and the presence came so strong. So I was getting ready to go back in the house, and he asked me, he said, "Would you keep me in your prayers?" He got me off to the side, just me and him. Would you pray for me and keep me in your prayers? And I said, "Buddy, I'll do more than that. I'll pray for you right here and right now." And you know, I got a hold of him. He goes, "No, wait. He goes, "Hey, guys, come on over here." He goes, "Mr. Covey's going to pray, you know." So we got in like a huddle, and we started to pray. And the baby, the woman, her name's Ashley, right? And she's back in the nursery right now. But anyway, we got to pray, and she was right next to me. And I started to pray, and next thing you know, I started seeing goosebumps just all over her. And after we got done praying, she goes, "Oh my gosh, that baby hasn't moved so much, you know, than while you were praying. And now they've had that little baby. And that baby now, instead of hearing that prayer in the womb, it was sitting here tonight on her lap under the word of Almighty God."
Amen.
And you know, is God's word changing? Oh my. So that little baby's had its first birth. And I'm looking forward to see that baby have a new birth and see what God will do in its life. And I know they've been talking to me. They're getting ready to be my neighbors now. They're going to live across the street. And he said, "Our desire, Mr. Covey, is to start going to church with you and start hearing more things of God." And I got to thinking, your desire? Maybe it's God's desire that you be coming to church and things. I'm thankful that God had a desire one day that he looked down and he said, "Hey, that goofy looking guy there on that roof nailing shingles on, hey, I want him, you know," and that was me, you know. I was thinking, wow, thank God that he could reach down his hand even low enough to pick me up, you know. And but anyway, it don't matter how low you are. If you don't have that Holy Ghost, it don't matter if you're this low or this low, you're just not going to make it. But as long as he can get a hold of you, remember, you cannot come to God unless he first draws you. And I think this preaching tonight, it was drawing me even closer. I've been drawing closer and closer to God, but tonight I got just a little bit closer. And the next message, I'll get a little bit closer. Tomorrow when I get in my truck and I'm alone, I'm going to get a little bit closer to God. How many wants a closer walk with God? Oh, my. You know, we had one treat for you earlier. The sister came up and sang. And the first time I heard her sing, she sang this song. And it was actually on a, when the year turns over, it was a New Year's Eve service, like a watch night service. And I'd never met her before. My mom kept saying, there's this girl named Bethany, and boy, she can sing. And boy, you know, and so me and Mike's like, okay, Mom, we'll probably hear her when we get up there. But boy, she wasn't lying. And this little girl got up there, and she sang. And later I'd ask her, I said, wow, you sing with such enthusiasm. She goes, well, now, my daddy said that if I'm going to do something, I got to give it all I got. And so when I get up there, I sing and I give it all I got. But I'm going to ask her if she will come up and maybe sing that song for me, that special one I've been telling her about. She says, I don't know if I can promise that song, but because sometimes I'll get up thinking I'm going to sing something, but I sing something totally different. But I can tell you, what a blessing. But while she's getting ready to come up, let's sing When We All Get to Heaven. What a day that'll be, yes. When we all, page 166, we have it there. I don't know what key that is. Whatever key I sound good in, just make it that one there. I like that. Let's just start off with the chorus. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Sung this one in a minute, so you might have to bear with me. Sometimes I'm walking by faith, can't see what lies before me still. Oh, I see victory. Verse on that one, so I'm going to sing a different one. That one's been a little too long. Well, as they gambled for the Roby War, they chose the worldly way. They weren't thinking about eternity as the soldiers drove the nails.
they've done or make the same mistake. It's me or the world, my child. Oh, which one will you take? Oh, I'll take Jesus. Oh, I'll take Jesus. I've tried those earthly pleasures and they fail. Oh, to see the gates of glory, you're gonna hear the Master say, it's me or the world, my child. Oh, which one will you take? And now, as the pages of my life have turned, and time, oh, it's rolled away, you see the greatest thing that I have done, they're not gonna matter on that day. And all my earthly treasures that I have laid away, oh, they're gonna be to me just a memory. And this you'll hear me say, oh, I'll take Jesus. Oh, I'll take Jesus. You see, I've tried those earthly pleasures and they all failed. And to see the gates of heaven, oh, you're gonna hear the Master say, you see, it's me or the world, my child. Now, which one will you take? Oh, I'll take Jesus. Oh, I'll take Jesus. Oh, I've tried those earthly pleasures and they all failed. Oh, I'm gonna see the gates of heaven. Oh, and I'll hear the Master say, it's me or the world, my child. Now, which one will you take?
It's me or the world. Which one will you take? Well, I tell you, God is second to none. He is second to none. Wow, did you enjoy that tonight? Can you say it was good to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, my.
Amen.
I got one more little song we're going to sing, and I sing this all the time at home. It's After All, This Life Is Over. Man, and can you imagine when this life is over, we're going to be on the other side. We won't even be like Lot's wife. We ain't going to look back, are we? We ain't going to look back. I appreciate Brother Nate Moore. He's the pastor here. And We heard some really good preaching tonight. Amen. But if you want to hear the pastor here, come on a Sunday morning, and he's going to be preaching, and he's going to be wearing a suit and a tie. Yes. And he looks good in a suit and a tie, you know. So anyways, come and you'll hear something good. The first message I ever heard him preach was at a funeral, and it's called Moving Day. And he was preaching the funeral of a mover. And he said, you know, they say you can't take nothing with you. He said, but hold on a minute. Give me 45 minutes to tell you what you can take with you. You know, and believe it or not, you can take a lot with you. More than your character, there's a lot you can take with you. And it's one of them things you would have had to have been there, and I was glad I was there. I was so glad I was there. But Brother Nate Moore, just a great, precious brother. And you know, the more you're around somebody, the more you get to know them. And I know sometimes people might sit in church, even some here tonight that are visitors. They might have got a lot of what was said, but there's a lot they might not have understood. But if you come every week and every service, after a while, when you come visit somebody, you're going to understand them more. And you're going to understand the Word of God the more you sit under it, you know. So sit under the Word of God. That's the only thing. If you sit it under, it'll take you above. You know, if that makes any sense. It sounded right when I said it, you know. So, but let's sing this little song, After All This Life Is Over, 669. It's just a chorus. And our burdens have been lifted. Yeah, that sounds good to me right there. After all, let's just all stand and let's stretch just a little bit. Yeah, after all. Key of C.
After all this life is over and our burdens have been lifted and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city, oh, that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. After all,
let's sing it now.
Oh, after all this life is over, oh, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain top so
looking over in that city. He's preparing a place. I thank you for coming tonight. It's been a real treat. Brother, God bless you. Thank you for coming and preaching. I whispered in his ear. Yeah, when he came up here, I whispered in his ear. I said, take your liberty. And you know what that means when you tell a preacher that? It could mean a lot of things, you know, but take his liberty, and he did, and he really took God's liberty.
Amen.
That really was it, Brother Isaac, you heard tonight, if you know or not. That was Jesus Christ speaking through a veil right there.
That's right.
But praise the Lord, and God bless you, and I'd like to introduce you to Brother Nate Moore, the pastor here.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated just for a minute. It's good to have my brother here. His brother Isaac, what is his name?
Hatfield.
Because I didn't get to write that down when I got in my notes. I thought I got to get his name. Enjoyed you, brother. It's good to have you here.
Amen.
And I love the commission.
Amen.
Because, you know, the thing about the commission, God gave Moses the commission, but then when Joshua came up to bat, he didn't change the commission. He didn't improve the commission. He did the exact same thing that God told Moses to do. So that commission that Joshua received was the commission that Moses received. That reminds me of us.
That's right.
Because we've had our Moses. And he did have a commission. God gave him a commission. But then God turned around. Revelations 10, 8 through 11.
Okay.
You take the book.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you take the commission.
Yes, sir.
If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward.
True.
So here we are now. The Joshua this day is the Holy Ghost in the bride, in the body. And we're pushing this thing on. We're going through the promised land now.
Amen.
We're not turning back. Amen. We're not slowing down. We're full steam ahead.
That's right.
Taking the same commission that God gave to the prophet, it's our commission now.
That's right.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this commission that's been given you? I love the way he brought so many examples of people with the commission. And every time he had a commission, everybody that got the commission, you know what they did? They took that commission and ran with it. They took that commission and fulfilled it. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take the commission and we're going to fulfill it. I don't even wonder if we're going to do it. I know we're going to do it. Because you know what he told us? He said, you're not doing this commission because of the way you feel. I love that. We're not doing this because we feel like we're called to this. We're doing this because the Word of God said it. And what makes the commission ours is that we take the Word of God and say, it's mine. I am Revelations 10, 8 through 11. I'll take the book. I'll lead it. I'll testify again. I'll prophesy again to kings and priests. That's my commission. And I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to fulfill this thing. And when we're done with this, when we're finished with our commission, this is the last commission for us. This is it.
Yeah.
When we finish with this commission, because part of our commission is to get the dead up. Part of our commission is have the body change.
Right.
Those that are alive and remain. Thessalonians 4. When we finish with our commission, the bride will be out of here. It's going hometown time. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing this, and we're gonna get home. We're gonna go to our natural home, and if we go to our spiritual before then, amen. We'll do that too. Amen. I'm looking for something. It's a song that the angels cannot sing because they don't have my commission. Amen. Good to have you all here. Please come back. I enjoyed it, brother, and always good to see you all. So come back. We'll be here. I don't think they did any announcements.
Sunday church.
Church picture this Sunday. So don't be late. Because usually I try to do it early in case some people actually take off work, get lunch breaks, and they'll do it around service time so they can be in the picture. And you going to be here? Christy told me last year, I'm telling you, she told me last year, she said, don't you take this picture this year without me being here. She was gone last year and missed it. So we made sure. Yeah, because she had a wedding to go to. So she's here. Tell Alex.
He's going
to
be here.
Okay. Tell Alex to get in here. Amen. It's a song that the angels can't sing. They don't have our commission. But we've got our commission. Amen. God bless you. Come back expecting. Oh, it's a song. Oh.